Saints before the altar bending, watching long in hope and fear. Heavenly the Lord descending, in his temple shall appear. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the new. I want to welcome you this morning to Morrow Bible Church. Happy to have each and every one of you here worshiping with us this morning. This is a special service for us as we are meeting together to worship the Lord, and also we are recognizing the ministry of our pastor for many years, 31 years. We could even put it to 32 years if we go back to the very, very beginning. With the start of the Bible study there. And just want to go over a couple announcements. Want to remind you that we are going to have choir practice this evening at 5 o'clock, adult and children's choirs. So we're getting ready for our Christmas service next Sunday evening. And so remember that. And then our evening service tonight, 6:30. Encourage you to come back for that. And then this week, we're going to do some Christmas caroling Tuesday night, and we'll plan to meet here at the church at 6 o'clock. And just another reminder that if you know of anybody that would appreciate our coming by to visit, go caroling, please let me or Pastor know, and we can make up our schedule that way for Tuesday night. And then bring some Christmas cookies to share afterwards. And as I mentioned, next Sunday evening, our Christmas service, 6:30, during the normal evening service time. And then the New Year's Eve fellowship coming up on New Year's Eve at 6 o'clock. We'll start with a meal and have some activities and a video. So just be aware of those events coming up for Christmas and holiday season here. As I mentioned, this is a special service for us, and we are especially recognizing the ministry of Pastor and Mrs. Gossman today. And, you know, this may be kind of awkward for them, you know, during our Sunday morning worship service, but I think it's entirely appropriate that we do this, and the Scripture reminds us to appreciate and show honor to our leaders. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they that labor in the word and doctrine. And other texts of Scripture remind us of the need to honor and appreciate, esteem highly. And so these are commands in the Scripture that we have. And so when we seek to obey those commands, we worship the Lord. And that's what we're doing today. We're gathering to worship, and we're also seeking to obey these commands that we have to honor our pastor. And so I want to remind you again, be sure that you express that appreciation personally to them, and I'm sure you'll do that. And just a reminder also, we're going to be having the potluck dinner after the service, and everybody is invited to stay for that. I was down there earlier. It seems like there's a lot of food, so I think we'll have enough. And so if you didn't bring anything, you can still stay. And we want you to do that. At this time, we're going to have a message and song from the Gossman's grandchildren. And so they're going to come. And then after that, I've asked several individuals to give testimony of appreciation. And these are some folks that have been here at Morrow Bible Church for about the longest. And so after the grandchildren come and sing, Mr. Vaughn Robinson will come and share a word with us. And unfortunately, Al Ray and Mickey DeWeese are both sick today. But we do have a recording of Mickey, And we have a written testimony, which I'll read from Al. And so still be able to hear from them in that way. Okay, grandchildren, Lobax and the Saxton girls, if you would come.
Pastor Howard just mentioned we are Pastor Gossman's grandchildren. We have the awesome privilege to be his grandchildren. And we're about to sing a song called A Servant's Heart, and it really accurately reflects our grandparents, and we're so thankful for them, their love for God, their love for each other, and just the love that they've shown us.
Good morning. I think the act just ahead of me kind of speaks for itself. When our pastor and Beverly, as they've raised their family, I think it comes down through the history of that family. And I was picked to kind of present how the ministry started. And I just happen to be one of them older ones that's here. And first met the pastor and his wife and Flaskville Community Bible Church. That was roughly about 1972, I think, and that's the church that my wife and I were saved in, and pastor and his wife, they were always coming around and prompting us and helping us to gain in our Christian life. And then as that church progressed, it became more liberal, and that's the first time I'd heard the word of separation, and I seen it happening. Pastor and his wife separated from this church, and then a few months later, or maybe it would have been a year or so later, in 1983, the pastor started a church in his home, and that was quite interesting to all their little girls, these big girls you see now, they were little then. And they would open up their house and had the pews already in there. And they would open up their house and we'd have our services there. And then church kept growing. And so they had the living room and the kitchen was here, and there was a partition down through the center. And they finally got tired of peeking on each side, so they opened up the partition there so we could see each other. And they also they had the Sunday school there in the home, and continued to grow and kept getting more crowded. And then there was a time, I almost forgot about it, but there was a time there that we started, as we was looking on expanding, that we bought some property from the camp. Was that about 5 acres, Pastor? Is that right? Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And then the Lord seemed fit to open up this property here. And that was in 1987. And when you looked at this property, we thought, oh no. But the pastor, he was a determined person and following the Lord's leading. And it had trees growing up all around it and nothing inside, only just the pews, you see, and the pulpit. And there was no running water or anything. And with the pastor leading, why, we started in rolling up our sleeves and digging in and cleaned it up. And I can't really relate to you how big a mess it was, but it was a mess. And we even had water in the basement, and that continued on for several years there. And we kept going there, and then got step by step. We never borrowed no money. We just step by step, we kept going and continuing to expand the church. And in the meantime, what's the most important is our pastor was always following the Lord's will. And it was really fun to follow him, because where we was lacking in faith, he had it. So then we met here then first time in 1988 in this church, and then it went on to 2005 when we had the vision to build this extended part out here on, and that was a big undertaking, as it was going to take thousands and thousands of dollars, and we didn't really have much to start. We had some, but not to start it. And as we progressed, the money kept coming in, the Lord provided. And so it's, I can't do justice to our pastor and his wife, because they spoke for themselves. The Lord, they followed the Lord, and it was really, as I mentioned, it was interesting to follow them, because they were always there and seeing things happen as the Lord developed things. And so now we're here, we've seen a lot of comes and a lot of goes, so what you see is what's still here in our ministry. And I can't express my gratitude enough for our pastor and his wife and how they've led this church and been faithful and always never had to worry about the pastor, because he had many hats. And I've seen people, if they had water leaks, he fixed them. If they had electrical problems, he fixed them. And he always was there for anybody. And seen a lot of times he picked people up, and after he picked them up, they kind of threw him aside, but he went back and helped them again. And that's kind of roughly the beginning, and can't express my gratitude enough for our pastor and his wife.
I want to read what Al Ray wrote, and if I can decipher his handwriting here, only as accurate as I can see. He writes an appreciation for the sacrificial service of Pastor and Mrs. Gossman. He says, Our journey started in 75 or 76 when Marlene and I met Pastor and Bev. We attended Pulaskiville Community Bible, although not on a regular basis. In time, we started attending more regularly. Pastor was our Sunday school teacher at that time. Marlene and I grew in Scripture and understood more about being grounded in the Word. Marlene came to know the Lord under Pastor and Bev. When Pastor started the church at his home at Camp Peniel, we as a family started attending 1 year later. We can say that they are our role models in a lot of people's lives, ours included. We saw at an early stage in life, the pastor tried and did serve many. At the camp, he was superintendent. The many programs that he was in charge of, the upkeep of the camp, which Pastor and Bev and the girls worked at. When Pastor started the church at his home, his service to others increased. Pastor was always eager to help in a lot of ways. We as a family called on the pastor more than once. The more we worked with the pastor, we saw that his service to others was a priority his family had. Pastor always had his tools of his trade as well as his Bible. So his service to others. The pastor was so helpful in many areas of his ministry to others. We as a church thank the pastor for his service to us and others. We're grateful for his help in many areas of our lives and the lives of others. We all have been blessed. Thank you, Pastor, for your service to us and the many other people you have ministered to. Signed, Al and Marlene. Bob Bernard, come at this time.
I had to write it down because I figured that I would not get to say I forget something or I'd get so worked up here I might pass out. So pray for me as I want to read some scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 1. I think everybody knows this scripture. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestowed all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envied. And charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. I believe that's apropos with what we have to do here. And since I have to talk about the leadership, I could stay up here all day. But because you're going to get hungry, I won't do that. I have known the Gosman a long, long time, and their walk of love has been consistent, always. Pastor's love for his God, his Heavenly Father, his love for Jesus, his Redeemer and Rock of Salvation, his love for the Scriptures, his sword in the battle for truth, his love for his family, teaching them that they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. His love for his flock as he guides and protects them as they sojourn through this sin-cursed world. He not only preaches and teaches the word, he lives the word in his daily life, being an example for the flock. When I would come to him for guidance, he was always there for me, to comfort me and to guide me. When any of my family were in the hospital, he would be there in sunshine, in snowy conditions, at noon, or in the wee hours of the morning. He was there to comfort. About 3 weeks ago, I was in the hospital, and the pastor was there, of course, and they told me I could leave, but we all know how fast the hospitals operate. I was just ready to blow up because I was ready to go. I wanted to get out of there. And so I got all dressed up because all I had on was that IV in my arm. And so I was waiting for her to come in to take it out. But since they were so slow, I just went ahead and got dressed. And the IV was still in there. The line was taken off because the first nurse that came in there, the head nurse, took that off. So when the little nurse come in to take the IV out of my arm, she couldn't find me. She said she didn't know who was the patient, me or the pastor, because I was dressed. And so, but she did make a comment. She says, "Are you two brothers?" And so I thought, well, the pastor don't speak out that fast, so I got an opening here. But before I could open my mouth, he said, "Yes, we're brothers in Christ." And I thought, wow, that's the first I've seen him speak so fast. But it was told. It was there. Pastor is not only my brother in Christ, he is my comrade in battle for Christ. He is my spiritual mentor in life. He is my pastor. He is my friend in this life and forever. When my wife and I moved to Centerburg, we wondered if we ever would find a pastor like the one we had. Pastor Hankins, my spiritual father, was loving, caring, passionate, and was always there for me when I needed him. The Lord provided just that when we started here and much more. Thank you, Pastor, for your leadership and your guidance in my life and in my family. When we became members, I was put right to work as Sunday school superintendent. My first job that I took on was to remove Mrs. Gosman from any part of the Sunday school program. Not that I was against her, but I wanted her to be free to be a guide to our ladies. As a pastor's wife, she wants to be the example for them. Knowing her desire to do some work for the Lord, she started a woman's Bible study. Today, that is called a woman's ministry fellowship. So it grew. She also started a teen choir, which was second to none other. I'd always told the adult choir they better step aside. These kids were really sounding great. Thank you, Mrs. Gosman, for your guidance for the ladies. The church has been blessed by the leadership the Gosmans has provided. The pastor's goal was not about numbers, but about the testimony and purity of the church. Now, I don't feel that I should be up here talking, because every one of us could say that about him. Every one of us could remember when you were in the hospital, when you needed counseling. He was there for you. You know that. And we should remember to thank him for that. Thank you, Pastor.
Well, here goes. I've known Pastor and Bev now for about 30 years, and I got to thinking the other day, that's about 11,000 days, 11,000 days that I've been under their teaching, and I'm just so grateful for that. I've often wondered over the years, where would I be if I hadn't met Pastor and Bev? I mean, surely the Lord would have had led me to the Lord in some other way, but it couldn't have been any better than Pastor and Bev. It just couldn't have been any better. The thing I most admire about them is they didn't do it their way. Everybody says, do it your own way. They did it God's way, and I've always admired them for the strength and the faith that they've had. And what an example that has been to me, that their faith and their is stronger than mine. Their knowledge of God's word is stronger. And if I didn't have this to look up to and to aspire to, I don't know where I'd be today. It's just something that's so important to me, to have a pastor and his wife that are somebody I can look up to, and I've just been so thankful for that. They've always been, through all the years, regardless of the heartache and the sorrow and the problems and the issues that they face, they have never wavered from the truth of God's word. They've always stood so strong in God's word, and that's been so important. I remember back when John and I first started coming to Moriah Bible, John didn't want to, he always said that there was no way he would go to a church that was held in a house, because he said that would be a cult. He was always concerned about that. And that's where Moriah Bible started, was at the Gossman's house. But when Pastor witnessed to John in the hospital, he kind of changed his mind about that. And we did start going to Moriah Bible, and it was anything but a cult. Anyway, I'm just so thankful that I've had the opportunity to know Pastor and Bev and been under their teaching. Bev is a marvelous teacher. I've always admired her method of teaching. She would engage her girls, you know, in the whole lesson. She would expect a response. She would make you think for yourself, and you would apply it. She would help you apply it to your own life situation. So there are many things I'm thankful to Bev for, too. She's been a good, staunch friend over the years. And Pastor and Bev are not just our pastor and his wife. They have always been a part of our church family. They're part of us. They are us. You know, we're all one family. They're not just our pastor and wife. And I've always been grateful for that. They don't separate themselves from us. They are a part of us. And that, too, has always been so important. So I'm just thrilled that I've had the chance to know Pastor and Bev. And I hope that they have another 11,000 days of ministering to others as they've ministered to us. And I just pray that God will bless them as richly as they've blessed others. God be with you, Pastor and Bev.
I was glad we were able to get that from Mickey, even though she couldn't be here. So we miss her today. Let's take our hymnals and turn to 439 together. Work for the Night is Coming, 439, and we'll stand as we sing, 439. Work for the night is coming, work through the morning hours, work while the dew is sparkling, work mid springing flowers, work while the day seated. At this time, we'll have another special music. Pastor's daughters, Mary Beth, Miriam, Laura June at the piano, and also grandsons, Josh and Ben Loback. And our only regret is that Deborah is not here. And I know she really wanted to be here. And Lord willing, she could listen in on a recording, hopefully. And when she comes back soon, hopefully she'll be able to be with us. So we regret that. But if you come at this time, minister to us.
Strength for the weary.
Thank you for that. That was a special blessing to have the Gossmans family here and have the music able to provide this morning, minister. I want to invite you to open your Bibles now to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. I want us to look at a text here that is a verse that I think can be a special encouragement to Pastor and Mrs. Gossman and also a challenge to us as well. And we're going to look at the verse printed on the front of your bulletin there, Hebrews 6:10. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. This particular verse has to do with a certainty about the readers of this epistle that is grounded in the truth that's revealed here at the beginning of verse 10. The writer of Hebrews is able to recall the ministry of the readers, but what really gives him assurance about their spiritual condition is not that he is able to recall it, but it's that God is able to recall it. Hebrews 6:10 says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." The main truth that we see in this text is grounded in the unchanging character of God. It says, God is not unrighteous. That means he is completely just and right in what he does, in everything he does. And that particular character of God applies to not forgetting the work of his servants. When no one else may notice and others forget, God wants us to know that he remembers your ministry. God remembers your ministry. And I want to say that to Pastor and Mrs. Gossman today. God remembers your ministry. I want to say that to all of us here today. God remembers your ministry. God is not unrighteous to forget. What about your ministry does God remember? I think we see two aspects of our ministry that he remembers. First of all, God remembers your service to himself. God remembers your service to himself. Notice the text again. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name. God remembers your ministry to himself. God remembers your service for himself. And we see here in this text that that service, that ministry, is a work for God. It says he's not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. And that is an expression, that word is a word that means deeds and actions. Deeds and actions. God sees. God remembers. And something that God emphasizes as well. Not just noble thoughts and wishes, noble desires, but the carrying out of those things into action, into deeds, works. Your ministry is a work for God. It's been alluded to a number of times already that Pastor Gossman's ministry exemplifies that. Work and deeds of service for the Lord. And we can all think of many examples of specific things that he's done for us, that he's done for others. But I was just thinking about, there was a lady that came to visit our church a while back, and she just, you know, came one Sunday, and Pastor went to go follow up with her, just went by her house. And she came to the door, and somehow he found out that she had some valve that needed to be turned off in her house. I forget what it was. But, you know, guess what Pastor Gossman has in his car? He's got some tools. And so, you know, hey, I have some channel locks. Can I help you out with that? And so he was able to help her out. But, you know, that's just one very small example of all the ways in which Pastor Gossman has demonstrated deeds of action, of service for others, but for God. Something that is serving God. Your ministry is a work for God. And we're reminded that that work for God is not confined to these walls. It's not confined to this platform behind this pulpit. The scriptures are clear that we serve God in whatever we can do. Colossians 3, 23 and 24 says, "Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord." Whether it's in these walls, whether it's in your home with your children, whether it's in the workplace, serve the Lord. Work for Him. He sees. He remembers that work that you do. But yet, as we remember the ministry of Pastor Gossman today and appreciate that, there's another aspect to that work. The scripture speaks of the work of the ministry, the work that God's servants perform. 1 Thessalonians 5:13 speaks of that. Verse 12 says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and esteem them very highly for their work's sake." And you know, there is work that the leaders of the church perform that is indeed work. It is indeed a labor that is carried out. The ministry of God's Word, the study behind that, the giving forth of the Word from the pulpit, and in person to others, person to person. The administration of the church ministries and the facilities here. The spiritual care of the members of the church is a work. And we especially appreciate that work today that Pastor Gossman has carried out for many years. And we see the motivation behind that work. Your labor of love. And first of all, that love is for God Himself. As it's directed to God, our love for God carries us and motivates us to those deeds, those works for Him. So your ministry is a work for God. And then this text also reminds us of something else. Your ministry is a proof to God. Your ministry is a proof to God. The text says here, "God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name." God teaches us that what you do, your actions, your work, is something that shows something. It proves something, the word means. And it shows something to others, but to God as well. It gives outward proof. It demonstrates. And here in the context of Hebrews chapter 6, that's an especially important fact. This section beginning in chapter 5, verse 11, the writer has to take some time to stop and address his readers because of their spiritual immaturity. And then in chapter 6, he moves on to a very serious warning about the danger of a false profession of faith, something that is not truly genuine, just words that are spoken, but no real experience of grace in the heart. But then he comes to this confidence here about his readers. And this text is the ground of that confidence that he has about them, that this isn't the case with them. And that ground is your ministry, which you prove or show to God. God sees those works which demonstrate, which prove the reality of your profession. Your ministry is a proof to God. Demonstrates your genuine relationship to Him. It demonstrates your genuine commitment to Him. When it says the works which ye have showed toward his name, a designation for all that God is, his character. And for the early church, that meant a great risk. Showing, proving those works that reveal that you are a genuine believer was a very serious undertaking. It meant persecution. But yet they demonstrated. They proved. God could see that their profession is genuine. So God remembers your service to himself. And Pastor and Mrs. Gossman, our church has seen that in your ministry, that your work and your labor has been, first of all, for God himself. And whatever you do, whether people see it or not, it's for God. It's demonstrating to God, and we thank you for that. God remembers that. God sees that. It's also a reminder for us all to be sure that in our ministry, in our work that we perform, our focus is in the right place. Our priority is in the right place. Our service is not to prove something to someone else or to earn someone's respect or relationship, but first and foremost, our work, our service is to God, to please the Lord. First and foremost. God remembers that. God remembers your service to himself. But there's a second thing that God remembers. I think that we also see in this text at the end, God remembers not only your service to himself, but God remembers your service to others. God remembers your service to others. The text says that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. God remembers your service to others. And we see here in this verse that that work is itself the proof to God. That work itself is service to God. The two are not unrelated. The vertical ministry we have to God and the horizontal ministry are not two separate categories. We serve God by serving others. And our focus is on God, but that carries out through our ministry to others. That itself is the proof. It's what shows the reality of our profession. Matthew 25:40. Reminds us of that. King shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, Jesus said, ye have done it unto me. And so, as you serve one another, you carry out service to God. But we see here that that service to others, that ministry, here in this text, should focus on God's family. It says in verse 10, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints. To the saints. God's family. The saints, who are they? They're not the perfect people. The saints aren't a special category of Christians. They are people that have been set apart by God in salvation and who are on the journey of sanctification. But it doesn't just apply to the good ones. Serving the saints, these aren't the perfect people, only the saved. Pastor and Mrs. Gossman, thank you for serving the saints and not giving up on the saints. When the saints are less than perfect people, which we all are, including myself, there's been a lot of saints that have given up on you, but you haven't given up on the saints. And we thank you for that. We thank you for your ministry to the saved here at Morrow Bible Church. Your ministry should focus on God's family. And then we see in the words used at the end of this text that your ministry should look like a servant. Your ministry should look like a servant. We had a reminder of that in the song this morning. Make me a servant like you, dear Lord. But the words ministered and minister come from the same word that means to wait tables, the word where we get the word deacon. The broader meaning is to render assistance or help by performing certain duties, often of a humble or menial nature. Just the general word that means help, help out, assist. That's what it means to minister, to help, whatever it takes. And we need to remember that this is an obligation that every single Christian has, to minister, to serve. 1 Peter 4:10 reminds us that everybody has been given what is necessary to do this. Peter writes, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister, the same word here, the same, one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So this is something that every single one of us has an obligation to do, an obligation to help other Christians, to serve them. We all have that obligation. And God has gifted us for that purpose. And then we see at the end of this text that both past and present service is important. Notice the end of verse 10. It says, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. The same word repeated in the past tense and then in the present tense. And so today we are thanking the Lord and thanking the Gossmans for their past ministry, their past acts of service. We think back over all the years and over all that God has enabled them to do, how they've been able to serve. But yet we can't forget that there is still a present ministry. So Pastor and Mrs. Gossman, continue to serve. That's why we're not letting you get away. All right, there's still a job for you here. But God remembers your past ministry. God remembers your present ministry to the saints. A pastor in the 1500s wrote this about this verse and this phrase at the end. He said this, there is nothing easier than to grow weary in well-doing. That's the truth. It's nothing easier to grow weary in well-doing. Although there are plenty of people to be found who are ready to help their brethren, yet the virtue of constancy is rare, and a good number of them soon begin to lose their enthusiasm as though their ardor had grown cold. Pastor John Calvin understood the truth of that text, the need to continue to be constant in ministry. The past ministry is important, but the present ministry is just as important as well. It's not just one single act of service in the past, but it's a continual serving that God remembers. God wants us to have constancy in ministry. He wants us to continue on, to not grow weary, to grow tired of doing well, but to be constant, to continue in service. There's a stone on the outside of this auditorium, right over there, where the Robinsons are sitting, I think, on the outside, that has a date etched in it in the 1930s. And I forgot to check exactly what it said. But sometime in the 1930s, this building was constructed or reconstructed after a fire which burned the original building that was here. And for a time, there were people here that were coming to church, United Methodist Church, a Methodist church at that time. But I'm sure that at times the word was given out, Sunday school lessons presented to children. I've met people in the area that remember this room back here where they had Sunday school, and there was a curtain that closed it, and even back before we had the building. I was in the library a couple months ago and found a history of the churches in Morrow County, and they had a little blurb about our church building. And actually, the people who constructed it in that group goes back even to the 1800s when they met together, and they were meeting in somebody's barn around here before they constructed a building. You know, think about all those years of a church meeting here, people coming here, the sermons that were presented, the pastors that were here in this building before we had the church. You know, most of that ministry is difficult for us to know anything about. There are some older folks in the area who remember certain things, but in general, what really went on here is forgotten. The ministry that was carried out in this building, forgotten by most people. And you know, as we look into the future, if the Lord should tarry 85 years, 100 years, what will people then remember about Morrow Bible Church? What will they remember about Pastor and Mrs. Gossman's ministry? What will they remember about your ministry, about your service you performed in the church? You know, they may not remember anything at all. They may not remember anything. As a church, I think we'll do our best to remember Pastor and Mrs. Gossman's ministry. But the memory of their ministry, the memory of your ministry, will never pass from the mind of God. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, in that you minister to the saints and do ministry. So Pastor and Mrs. Gossman, we want to thank you this morning for showing us the ministry that is described here in this text. God-focused, servant-hearted, and we thank you this morning. This time, I want to ask both of you to come, Pastor and Mrs. Gossman, and Mr. Steve Lewis is going to come, and we have something to present to you, so if you come.
God leads you, he'll provide. He gives you a job to do.
Number 333, may the mind of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day. That's our prayer together as a church. We would continue to reflect the mind, purpose of Christ as we serve together. Let's stand. 333, may the mind of Christ my Savior. Right. At this time, we will prepare for our meal. And could somebody check and see if they're ready for us? Dan, could you do that? And then what we'll do is we will go down those stairs over there so we can go through the line this way instead of coming the other way. That's our standard procedure, I think. So we'll do that. And I'm going to ask Pastor and Mrs. Gossman if you would go ahead and go that direction. And if you would like to greet people from that side as we go down, or if you would like to go through the line yourself first, you can do either one of those things, okay? So we'll pray. Good to go?
Yeah, a minute or two.
A minute or two? Okay. All right, well, let's pray, and then we'll prepare to go down. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your work in our lives. We thank you for Pastor and Mrs. Gossman and their work here at Morrow Bible Church. Thank you for the way that you've sustained them through the years and how you've used them to establish the church here and to strengthen believers, to save souls. And we give you all the praise and glory for that this morning. Father, we thank you for the food that we're about to eat. Thank you for your provision for us each day, and we praise you for that as well. And we thank you, Lord, that we can be together to worship you, to sing your praise, to hear from your word today. And we recognize the special blessing that we have to do this. And so we pray that you would bless our time of fellowship now. May we continue to give you the glory, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, Pat, let's let Pastor and Mrs. Gossman go first, and then once